guys, I love it. And I know there's so many things I can say about all the young people, and some of you old folks aren't that bad either. So, you know, we got a good group here. I feel good. There are a couple things I'm feeling, you know, like they're the things I want to explain and talk about, but I just got back from a celebration of life. You know, so funny, so when I bring up the name Wyndham Shaw, people go, yeah, that's right, you talk about him a lot in your sermons. I didn't realize I did. I just didn't, you know, it's like, I guess if I could say, boy, I wish you guys could have known him. I really do. I hope you get a chance. I think that that's been recorded online. It was 2.5 hours long, a celebration of life. But it was so great. You know what's funny is sometimes you go to a celebration of life and you know that everyone's thinking about the good things about the person, and rightly they should. And that's good. But I knew this. Every single person that shared, I knew Wyndham. I said, yep. Bingo. Got it. Right on. Did not have to embellish. Did not have to inflate it. Did not have to, well, you know, kind of go this way a little bit. Right on. And it's kind of hard to believe that he's not here on this earth, but I know where he will be. So, I'm feeling good. I had a great time there. A little bit reflective, but feeling good. Now, Merry Christmas to you, okay? I know it's December 8th, and I know what you're thinking, that today is Huck's birthday, and I know you're thinking that, and that's true, and I already said happy birthday to him, and he has sneakers that are lighting up, and he was dancing around, showing that via FaceTime, but that's not what I want you to think about today. I want to, you know, Merry Christmas. It is that time of year. 'Tis that season to be jolly. And yet, you know, how do we take that whenever someone says Merry Christmas to us? It's like, well, thank you, you know. Merry Christmas to you, Pascal, and to you, Nick, and Osirena. And you know, it's kind of like a common thing, but there's also a sense of you want wellness for the person, right? I mean, this is a time of the year that people are about as nice as they're ever going to get. And it's really kind of cool, isn't it? Everyone, hey, how are you? Merry Christmas. Rest of the year, they might not say that to you, but now they are, because there's this sense of hope, wellness, goodness, and maybe we can pass that around. Now, obviously, a lot of times people miss the whole purpose that people celebrate this. You and I both know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, okay? Somebody way back in history said, let's have a birthday for Jesus, all right? And if my history serves me correctly, the decision may have been made to kind of replace a pagan festival with a Christian one, you know, so let's kind of keep the pagans at bay. Let's, you know, put Jesus right here. We don't relegate him to one day, obviously. We celebrate him 365 days a year, 366 on leap year. But you know what? I love the time of year. I love the time of year that people stop and think. Last year, our son took us to see the Messiah there at Lincoln Center. That was an emotional experience for me. It was so great to be there. I love Handel's Messiah. He wrote that in like 28 days. Listen to it. He wrote it in 28 days. But that one part where the Hallelujah chorus comes on, and there in the middle of the city of New York, 1,000 people got to their feet. Because that's the tradition. When King George first heard it, he stood up and the whole crowd stood up. And ever since then, that's what happened. When the Hallelujah chorus is performed, people stand up. And I was overcome with emotion. Not because, you know, it's a beautiful piece of music, although it is. It was just really cool that Jesus Christ had an entire auditorium of people that probably don't believe in him stand up out of respect. And it filled my heart. So, Merry Christmas. I want the best for everybody. But have you ever thought, What would it be like if people 2,000 years ago were to come here today and wish us a Merry Christmas? What would they be wishing for us? And so for the next 3 weeks, that's what I want us to talk about. And today, I want us to have a Merry Christmas from Mary. What would Mary, Jesus' mother, say to us at this time of year? Let's go and read in Luke chapter 1. Now that was kind of a long introduction. That doesn't count for my sermon time, does it? Right? Okay, good, good. I just want to make sure the crowd's friendly here. All right, here we go. Luke 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And then in chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus to Judea in Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. What would Mary write to us today in her Christmas card, wishing us a Merry Christmas? Number one, she would wish us servanthood. Servanthood. You know, when you think about having a Merry Christmas, all of a sudden you think about all the things you're going to get, right? Or maybe being with family, or maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe not being with family, or something, a meal, all of this, but it's like a time of celebration. And yet, what is Mary's response to when Gabriel gives this mind-blowing, earth-shattering announcement, you are going to be pregnant? Now, I've never been with a man. Oh, but this is going to be a special pregnancy. For God himself will be the father, and the one that will come from you will be the Most High. And Mary is thinking, who in the world am I? I was just minding my business, loving God, being favored by him. Why? Because she was some impressive person? No. Because she had a heart. Because she was someone who loved God. But she was a young girl. And this angel says this is going to happen. There are so many problems this can bring up. She's just going to get on with her life. But no, this is going to change. How will she explain this? How's she going to explain this to Joseph? When Joseph first hears about it, what does he do? He thinks, well, she's been with another man, so I am going to divorce her. I'm going to cut this. But I'm going to do it quietly. You know why? Joseph was not a vindictive person. You see, God chose well who was going to protect his son during the vulnerable years. And so Mary, her mind must have been reeling, yes, this is Gabriel. Yes, this is divine. What is this going to mean? But what is her response? I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. You want a Merry Christmas? That's the mindset. That's the heart set to have. I am the Lord's servant. Whatever that means, what doesn't matter, I am here. I will do it. You see, when you're the Lord's servant, you live a life of surrender. Now, we can have a lot of different approaches to this, and I want us to think about this. Right now, today, could each one of us say to God, I am the Lord's servant? And what would that mean? That is surrendering everything about you to him. You surrender your past. Mary didn't have any specific worldly credentials to come up and say, you know what? I'm the one. I'm the one who needs to give birth to the Messiah. Because look at all that I bring. Whatever her past was didn't matter. She wasn't from this great, you know, palace. She wasn't from this great schooling or any of that. None of that matters. The past doesn't matter. Today, it doesn't matter what your past is. I just want to know, do you want to be the Lord's servant? Is that your attitude? Are you ready to surrender and surrender everything? You surrender your past. You also surrender your present. Now, think of what alternatives we could say rather than I am the Lord's servant. How about I am the Lord's business partner? Okay? God, I will give you Sundays, but you give me this. God, I will enter into a contract with you that, you know what, I will give up certain things, but you make sure that these other things in my life go well. All right? Or maybe we become God's patient, not his servant, but his patient, so that he's supposed to be there whenever we run in trouble and heal us. God, I'm sick. God, I'm going through a hard time. God, I'm doing, so I'm going to be your patient. Or maybe, God, I'll be your client. You're my insurance guy, okay? I'll be your client. I'll give you every Sunday at the end of time. You just get me where the good place is, okay? And that's it. Mary's attitude, there's no sense of, okay, this, that. I am your servant. Surrender means not holding anything back. Surrender means giving all. Surrender is focused on the one that you're serving. What is your will? What is your need? How often do we approach God? Oh, Lord, give me. Let this go right. Let that go right. Because you see, surrender is also not only your past, your present. You've got to surrender your future to God. Surrender what will be. Now, keep in mind, this is an amazing promise and thing that's happening here. But Mary had no idea what this was going to mean. You think this was hard and embarrassing? You know, I'm a virgin. How's this all? And all of that. Okay, Joseph's on board. He had a vision too. That's good. I'm protected. But, you know, I mean, what do you do when they're having people over the house? Oh, how old's Jesus now? 4. Oh, that's great. So did you wait a couple years before you had him? Because, Mary, you're pretty young. Yeah, you know, let's just, come on, have a little bit more bread or something. You know, it's like, how do you have that discussion? But you see this glorious thing, this thing that people celebrate today. See, for Mary, she had no idea what the future. Simeon would tell her, say, you know what? Your own soul's going to be pierced. What? She would not believe that by the time Jesus is 12, she was going to lose him for 3 days. Have you ever lost your child? Have you ever, in a big city? We lose our child for 15 minutes. We go crazy, and rightly so. She lost him for 3 days in Jerusalem. Frantic. She goes and she rebukes him. She goes, son, why have you done this to us? And Jesus said, did you not know that I needed to be about my Father's business? Don't do that to your mom again, okay? Please, don't. And she had no idea what Golgotha was going to be like at 33 years. You know, we're kind of used to it. Picture yourself as Mary. You've been given this promise. Through you, the Son of God's going to come. And here you are watching people beat your child. It's bad enough to see a child suffer. It's horrible to see a child die. But when the child is a punching bag and you watch, when a child is beaten to a bloody pulp and you watch, when a child is stripped naked, put up on a cross, spikes driven through them, and they still don't stop, and they are jeering, and they are laughing, and they think it's a joke, and you got some soldiers that don't really care to some Jewish kid dying here. They're gambling for their clothes, and she watches. I am the Lord's servant. Yes, he was raised from the dead, but think of the trauma that she experienced. It was not all easy. It was not all wonderful. Wyndham Shaw spent the last 3 to 4 years of his life deteriorating. This multiple system atrophy, kind of like Lou Gehrig's disease. Everything shuts down. For the last, year, he could barely talk. You could just see his eyes move. And his whole family would be there to take care of them, and people go, wow, that's hard on your family. It was hard. But you know what? It was their joy to take care of him. Wyndham was asked, man, how do you feel? Before he started going to the point, it was really impossible to talk. you know, you have served God faithfully. You always talked about having faith, about loving God, about being close to God. And here you have this crippling disease that it's going to take you out, not quick, but slowly shut you down, system by system by system, to only your eyes can see. What about that? And Wyndham said, you know, I've always preached on living by faith. I don't see any reason to quit now. And by faith, he still spoke. And even though dead, he still speaks. You see, Wyndham had surrendered his future to God. And all of the thousands of lives that he influenced, he'd done that. And so here at the end of his life, he lived to the very end. His grandchildren were inspired by Papa's courage, by Papa's faith. They would sing for him. They would perform for him. There was no pity. There was nothing to pity. Why? Because faith was alive. You see, Wyndham and Mary were kindred spirits because they said, I am the Lord's servant. How about us? Is he our business partner? Is he our client? Is he our little life coach? Let me talk to those that are younger here, the teens, the college age. Mary, according to scholars, could have been like right around 15 years old when this happened. They married very young back then, very young. Campus, teens, you all are socialized right now. Socialized to think that everything will be okay one day. I got my time now. You're socialized to think that. You're socialized to be disrespectful, to ignore certain things. I understand. I was socialized. If you'd talked to me when I was like 13 years old, don't you want to be God's servant? It's like, who in the world are you? I have no idea who you are. Because, see, I got time. I'll grow up. And, you know, getting my life right is something that old folks do before they die. You know, it's a good thing to get it right. I mean, I thought that. Oh, I feel good about God. I don't hate him. I don't, you know, I'm not a bad person. I mean, all of this stuff. You know what? I just want to go and have a great time. You see, this was life. This was life. If you can't come to that, you can't come to faith. If you can't believe that, you won't have faith. God can use anyone, anywhere, anytime. Sometimes you're socialized to think, who are you? And then sometimes you're socialized to think, I can do anything, and everyone beats you down. You know what? With God, all things are possible. God took this marginalized little girl, and now everyone in the face of the earth and knows anything about Christianity knows about Mary. To our Catholic friends, I differ, and I don't worship Mary, okay? But one thing I do, I have total, absolute respect, and I imitate her as she imitates God. She is worth all of that. I am the Lord's servant. Can we say that about ourselves? If Mary's writing you a Christmas card, that's what she'd say. It's all about being his servant. Merry Christmas. The other thing she would say is, Merry Christmas, it's all about his sovereignty. When you read the song, you know, after she goes to her cousin Elizabeth's and Elizabeth says, you know, I'm too old to be pregnant. You're too young to be pregnant. wow, look what God has done. And she goes, my baby, 6 months, leapt when you came in here because you are the mother of my Lord. And Mary breaks out in this song, and she sings about how good God is and how God could take notice of her, a humble, humble servant, and then how God has been faithful to Abraham, faithful to Jacob, faithful in all of his promises. You see, you want to have a Merry Christmas? Take hold of the sovereignty of God. Nothing stops God's will. I can stand in the way of God's will and be set aside from God's will. But God's will gets done. I may not be part of his will at that point, but God's will gets done. Isn't it amazing? You look at chapter 2 there. Caesar Augustus, you know, all of a sudden I have this desire to take a census. Now, the interesting thing, why did he have the desire right then at that time? You know why? God Almighty moved him to do it. Caesar Augustus was pagan. He was pagan. God will use anyone. Doesn't mean they're blessed. They stand in his way. They still may get used, and then they're set aside. It's their choice. But one thing's for sure, his will always gets done. Do you know why he did that? Because several hundred years prior to that, the prophet Micah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that God's Messiah was going to be born in the city of David, Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary are way up in Nazareth, way down here is Bethlehem. Why in the world would you make a trip like that when your wife is pregnant? Why would you do that? There's only one reason, because God used a pagan king to order a census so that Joseph had to go back to Bethlehem. Why? So that prophecy would be fulfilled. It's like, oh my goodness, how'd this all happen? One of the greatest evidences for Christianity and the validity of the Bible is look at all the prophecies that were done hundreds of years before and were fulfilled in Christ. God's divine, and sometimes you thought, how is he going to do this? It seems impossible. He always worked it out. You know why? The sovereignty of God always, always comes through. And Mary's Christmas greeting to us would be, get in the flow with God's will. Don't stand against it. Go with it. Be part of it. What is it that you and I need to do today to say, hey, you know, the overarching purpose of God is this, that men and women would come to know him. That will outlast my ministry. That will outlast your job. That will outlast your families. That will out, you know why? Because God's will is that all men be saved. The question to Sheridan is, what have you done to fulfill that will? What have you done to help people grow in Christ? What have you done? Not what have you thought about, but what have you done? Get in the flow of God's will, or you stand against God's will. That's what Mary would say. He is sovereign. His will is accomplished. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us all. He does not take away our free choice. So it is tragic, it is traumatic when someone stands against the will of God and stands in opposition. But when someone, it doesn't matter if you're some girl from the hills of Galilee, decides, you know what? I don't know where this will take me. I'm the Lord's servant, but God Almighty, your will be done, and somehow it will work out. It doesn't work out because for me, if I disobey, oh, he'll still get it done. He'll find somebody else. But it will work out if I am going to be his servant and I want to be part of accomplishing his will. Distractions can take me away. Other loves can take me away. Attitudes can take me away. I can't change any of that about myself, but God can. You may be feeling right now, you know what? I'm just out of whack. I don't think I can have a Merry Christmas. This is nice. I'd love to be surrendered. I'd love to do this. Bottom line, I don't think I can. Good. I'm glad. Because you're at a place right now, you can get with God, you can open your heart, you can be honest, say, God, I can't do this, but I want to. And guess what? That is the first step of a miracle. The greatest miracle of all, the changing of the human heart. Anyone that thinks they can do it in and of their own power, you'll never do it. You'll always be frustrated. You'll always just do enough to try and get by, and then that line will always get blurry, and you'll end up, oh my gosh, how did I get here? But the person that comes, oh my, you know, here I am. I am your servant. You are sovereign. I give myself to you. My challenge to all of us, give yourself. Be his servant in your time schedule. Be his servant in your job. Be his servant in your marriage. Be his servant in your parenting. Be his servant. Be his servant. Be his servant. And you know what's going to happen? The sovereignty of God will take you along with it, and you will stand and you will live forever. And that is how, according to Mary, you have a Merry Christmas. Let's pray.